Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In the studio is Dr. David Ansel. His book is The Death Gap, How Inequality Kills. We've been talking about this last couple days here, just previewing the book. And he's in our studio now. Doctor, welcome to the show. We'll make as much as we can with the time you have. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much.
So you say that Ogden Avenue is the great dividing line in Chicago. Is that right?
Well, it's one way to look at it. I've worked on three hospitals on this one street. I call it One Street, Two Worlds, because literally you can drive down the street and people have not only different lives, different life expectancies, different experiences, because where you live, your neighborhood dictates when you're going to die.
Okay, so give me an example. We are right now north of Ogden Avenue, but not that far.
Yeah.
What would be the life expectancy where we're sitting right
we're
now?
In this neighborhood, life expectancy is 85. If it were a country, it'd be ranked number one in the world. Think Japan.
Okay.
But you literally go down Ogden Avenue a few stops. I say the blue line because my hospital Rush is on the blue line. Seven stops down the blue line, and life expectancy plummets to under 69. Think Iraq. Literally on one street, but it's not just Chicago. There are streets like this all across the country.
Why is it different?
Well, a number of different things, but one is concentrated poverty is bad for health. And the fact that we have a healthcare system that historically has left those people who are poor, uninsured, or those who need more getting less, this contributes to premature death as well.
Okay, so is it the lifestyle that people on the Gold Coast live versus people on the West Side live, or is it that if something goes wrong with me, I'll get health care, and they won't?
So think about this. If something happened on Michigan Avenue, you'd be taken to Northwestern. But if in Garfield Park, where life expectancy is 69, there's no hospital, you know, you'd be where would you be sent to?
Where would you be sent? Cook County?
You could be sent to Cook County. You could be sent to Loretto Hospital in Austin.
Okay, what if I was sent to Loretto Hospital or Cook County, though? Are you mad at the hospitals and the doctors in those hospitals?
No. I think the doctors in the hospital are doing the best they can. But think about—
You worked in one of these places.
I worked in Mount Sinai, for example. Mount Sinai was a trauma center in Lawndale. It's a fantastic hospital. But the ability to capitalize, whether it's hiring new doctors, new equipment, is quite limited by the payer mix of the population. If you're taking care of the uninsured or people on Medicaid, you can't raise the capital to do the things you need. And therefore, those hospitals suffer. You have to take a vow of poverty almost to be these institutions.
So it's not really where you live. It's what kind of insurance do you have? And people south of Ogden tend to have poor insurance. Is that true?
Yeah, I think if you look at the neighborhoods in the city, there's some neighborhoods of concentrated affluence, like where we are right now, where people are largely insured, and those cards get you anything you need. But in other neighborhoods, people are either uninsured or they have Medicaid, and you have more limited choices. Now, the Affordable Care Act expanded Medicaid, and having a card is better than having no card, but it's not an equal system, and it's not fair.
Did Obamacare make things better than they were?
Yes, without a doubt.
Did the proposed Senate fixes, would those have made Obamacare better
worse.
Than it was?
Worse.
Why do you say that?
Because, they weren't interested in fixing it. They were interested in dismantling it. Medicaid expansion has been good because there are people who have gotten cards and access to care who otherwise would not have been able to walk in the door and get care. But the big problem with the Affordable Care Act is the fact that those who have to buy insurance on the marketplaces who aren't being subsidized are paying exorbitantly. And for workers in this country who are getting employer-based health care, co-pays and deductibles are really getting out of reach.
Is the solution to all of this, say the plight of the people south of Ogden Avenue, is it a federal solution or is it a local solution?
It's a federal solution, and there's a health care federal solution. So I'm a proponent of Medicare for all. Bernie Sanders just released the bill. Everybody in this country from birth, like every other major developed nation, gets access to an insurance card. They get it as an entitlement and not as a mandate, and they can use it wherever they want.
Sure. So healthcare, like gun ownership in this country, is a right for everybody.
Yeah, it should be.
Pardon me, I just made it political, didn't I? I didn't need to do that, but that was a tweet somebody had out there.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. But we need more than that as well. What we've seen is growing income inequality in this country, loss of jobs, well-paying jobs, and that contributes probably more to health than even health care. And if we don't address the growing income inequality, the stat that I like to use, the Federal Reserve surveyed Americans, and 47% of Americans would have to borrow money or sell something to pay a $400 unexpected bill.
Stay right there. We're not done. We'll come back in a couple of minutes. David Ansel, this is a book about Chicago and the country. It's called The Death Gap. David Ansel is in our studio. He's an MD. He's an author. His book is The Death Gap. It's about healthcare in Chicago and really across the country. Let's keep talking, doctor. And when the president steps up, I'm going to interrupt you. But we've been talking about this gap, north side, south side, poor, rich, in Chicago and in the country.
Yes.
And you said every city has this, don't they?
Yeah, the 405 in L.A., you drive up the 405 and you get 16 years in gap. New York City, 3rd Avenue, 10 years. Actually, this gap is not just about inner city low-income black and brown neighborhoods. There's a gap in white life expectancy as well between those whites with college educations and those without college education.
Is the life expectancy going down in this country?
Yes, it's the only major country in the world that's going down.
For everybody, the average American life expectancy is going down?
The overall life expectancy last year in this country dropped, and it dropped largely because white life expectancy for non-college educated whites has dropped since the turn of the century. The magnitude of this is bigger than the AIDS epidemic that we remember from the 80s and the 90s. And economists from Princeton, Case and Deaton, call them from diseases of despair, the same diseases that cause life expectancy drops in Garfield Park or in Washington Park in Chicago are affecting poor whites, not just in Appalachia, where it began, where we first noticed it, but across the country.
Why?
Well, it's a number of different things. Disease of despair or cirrhosis of the liver, drug overdoses.
Okay, so these poor uneducated whites are smoking too much and drinking too much.
Well, people think it's economic dislocation. The same thing that happened on the west side of Chicago and the south side when you had deindustrialization, when the jobs moved out, when families fell apart. And what's happened in all parts of America is income has dropped, and people then
right. So it's not just bad habits; it's lack of access to continuing health care in
right.
your life.
I call it the three B's: beliefs, behaviors, and biologies. No, it's other things. It's structural. And I call it structural violence. It's not the same kind of violence as being shot. When we look at the deaths in Garfield Park, you say, well, it's gun violence. No, it's heart disease and cancer. When you look in Appalachia or Sacramento County in California, it's heart disease and cancer.
I don't want to make this political, but I'm going to again. That population you've just described voted for the current president, who made it a pillar of his campaign to repeal and replace Obamacare. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, these are the characteristic Trump voters in some ways, but not everybody voted for him. People are in despair, and sometimes people vote against their best interest. But these are folks who need health care from birth, need access to the health care system, but they need more than that. They need good paying jobs. The average American takes home about $31,000 a year. Number is not enough to pay for co-pays and deductibles, and that's why I'm a fan of a single-payer Medicare for all healthcare system where everybody gets the same card regardless of where you're from. That doesn't solve all the problems, but at least it deals with the healthcare piece. We have rural hospitals that are closing all around the country because they can't financially survive, and a Medicare for all system where everybody's in, nobody's out from birth would solve that. But we need something more. We've had growing income inequality in this country. What we've seen in black inner city neighborhoods that we blamed on beliefs, behaviors, biology, smoking, and all those other things are actually structural. It's economic. And until we can bring good paying jobs back to folks, we're never going to solve the overarching health problems that are driven by inequality. That's why I call the book Inequality Kills.
Yeah. If you could whisper then and do somebody's ear, a senator, the president, the Health and Human Service Secretary, I mean, what would you tell them to do? What would be their focus?
Well, the number one thing, the first structural thing we could do is make healthcare a right, not an entitlement, available from birth. It doesn't eliminate poverty. It doesn't cure all the diseases that are associated with concentrated poverty. It gives everybody a fair chance to have access to the kinds of things that healthcare can bring. So that would be number one. That goes across the board for the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Yeah. You have some amazing anecdotes in your book, too. I mean, this isn't just statistics, although the statistics are good, but these are patients. These are people that you dealt with. I have a minute and a half. You want to tell me a story about a patient who represents what you've been talking about?
Yeah, I want to talk about Sarah E. because she brings tears to my eyes. Sarah E. was 25. She had Wilson's disease of the liver. It's a congenital disease. There's nothing she could do about it. She ended up in Cook County Hospital. Actually, Rush's transplant doctor saw her, but because she didn't have insurance, I was actually chief medical officer at Rush. They couldn't take her to transplant. She tried to get into Northwestern, couldn't get in there, and she died at age 25. I had a student one summer. It turned out it was Sarah E's cousin. I had her interview her mother about what it was like. And can you imagine being a mother of a 25-year-old? Mother worked and couldn't get her in to be seen. And there are just people like this die every day simply because they don't have access to care or access to the care they need. I worked for 27 years on Ogden Avenue at Cook County and Sinai, and never once did one of my patients get a transplant. Not once. I was the chief of medicine. And I couldn't get a patient to get a transplant. Yet the organs for the transplant came from the trauma units of those places. And I land in Rush, and suddenly things that were out of reach to me and my patients are now available. It's an unfair system. People contribute to it, and they don't get. And it's as a doctor, we take an oath, and the oath. And people would expect that we need to take care of everyone in front of us, no matter what. No one would expect us to check the insurance card. And yet we've created a system where doctors have to violate this oath on a daily basis, and then people die as a result. It's unacceptable. It's criminal. In a nation that can afford it like ours, it's morally reprehensible.
His book is The Death Gap, Dr. David Ansel. How inequality kills. I'm letting you go now. But what do you make of this debate in Cook County about the sweet beverage tax?
Well, you know, sugar is a problem. And it's from a public health perspective, it's absolutely the right thing to do is to tax sugar beverages. The ones who are opposing this are the food and the sugar industry. With very nice ads about it, they have a big interest in people buying their products. But these things are actually quite dangerous to our health. Of all the things I tell my patients to do, is stop drinking these sugary drinks. But they're addictive, and children like it. They're low cost, and it's the right thing to do. We need public policies like this. Turns out where you're poor in America makes a difference with life expectancy. So if you're poor in San Francisco or New York, you can live 5 years longer than if you're poor in Detroit. And a lot of it is public policy. Healthcare access, taxes on products like sugar, and it's a good public policy.
Read this book. It's called The Death Gap by David Ansel. It's a pleasure to meet you. Well done. Thanks for advocating for the side you're advocating for.
Thank you for having me.